into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Golden Point. I'm here with my co-host Mac. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Jesse.
We've got a big show lined up for you this week. We'll kick things off with talking points, where Mac and I will discuss the season so far. Mac will be grilling me with 60 seconds of trivia. We'll look at the week ahead with question time. Gold Coast forward David Shillington will be dropping by as special guest to have a chat. We'll play round 3 of 20 questions, and we'll finish off things with Mac's rant. So Mac, let's get things started. I'll throw to you for talking points.
All right. So I know last week I spoke about the bunker, and I'm going to speak about the bunker again, but a bit of a different issue. I've noticed on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, people are generally saying that they're sick of the refs using and relying on the video ref for the bunker so much. However, I'm of a bit of a different opinion. I'd actually like to see them use it on pretty much every try, because I think it really, with the way it is, they can get through a decision in about 20 seconds if it's a straightforward one, and it means we don't have any issues. It means that we're sure that, you know, the call is right. There isn't just a bit of a bobble there where fans are going to be upset when they come back and they say, why didn't he use the video ref? So I think it's better to be safe than sorry, and I'd like to see it used more.
Yeah, I think it's probably been used a little bit too much this season so far. I think it's been incredibly successful. I haven't seen too many decisions that have been incorrect. So, yeah, it's a hard one. It is a very hard one to pick whether or not we should use it more or less. But it is okay occasionally just a bit of a down point to a game when the adrenaline's high. There's, you know, it's tries back and forward, and it's just stopping every single time.
I guess so. But with the current system, you really do see where, like, I think at the moment they're actually going through the offsides while before it's even sent upstairs. You hear them say, oh, no, offside's cleared, we're moving on to the next thing. And I think as soon as a possible tries come along, if they start looking at it, we can get to a point that before it's even sent upstairs, they've already made that decision.
Yeah, if we get to that point, I mean, if we get to that point and the refs can almost make a live decision, then that's great. But yeah, I think it's when we're stopping the game and we're having a 30-second break, that's when it can just get a little bit annoying. But look, I agree at the moment. It's good. It's obviously getting the right calls, and that's what we want in the end. My first point for talking points is it's not to do with the actual competitions, rugby league. It's actually the fans themselves. I wouldn't say I'm fed up, but I'm confused as to the amount of fans that attend games wearing jerseys of a team not participating in said game. Yeah. To me, it just, I don't get what is going through their head, why they need to wear it. The only thing I can think is they need to say to the other 10, 20,000 people at the stadium, hey, I like rugby league. I follow a team. Look at me. Because if they don't, we obviously think they don't know anything about rugby league. It's just unnecessary. If you follow the team, wear their jersey if they're playing. If they don't, just wear regular clothes.
And to take it one step further, you see people wearing NBA jerseys or like other sports as well. And it's like, well, that's not even the right sport. Like, you're way off here.
Yeah, it does go a bit far sometimes.
Yeah. All right, my second point is sideline commentator Brad Fittler. I noticed a couple of times during the Sharks game, he was standing very close to the field while the game was on. He actually was behind Luke Lewis on a kickoff at one stage and was talking about him. And you could see Lewis was obviously aware he was there, and it was a bit distracting. And I've got to wonder if the players are a bit annoyed and feeling like there's a bit of an intrusion there. I think, JC, you mentioned to me during the week as well, there was a point where he was literally standing in the back of one of the goal lines before while the ball was on the other side of the field. And it's like he shouldn't be on the field at all. If a player does that, they can get fined. You know, it just seems like they need to step back a little bit and just not be so intrusive.
Yeah, I have to agree 100% with you that one. It does seem to be getting a bit out of hand with Brad Fittler. You want them to have fun. We don't want to take anything too seriously. I think we pride ourselves, especially in this country, of being able to see the light side of most situations. But I think Brad Fittler, especially, he just does take it a little bit too far. Like, yeah, like you said, there was a... I can't remember exactly what match it was, but he was on the field while the match was in play. It wasn't a stoppage, it was actually in play. And that's, I mean, that's not really good enough.
Ridiculous, yeah.
You have to kind of say, there's a level where it goes past the point of being professional. So I think Channel 9 just need to dim it back a bit. I don't know if they're kind of doing it to be a bit more edgy and get the younger viewers away from Fox Sports, because there's obviously quite a battle going on there. But yeah, I'd like to see him definitely just stick to being a sideline commentator,
exactly,
not on the field commentator. My second and last point is just about the match review committee, just being consistent. This one has been a hot topic during the week. All over social media, people have been voicing their opinions. And everyone, I think, shares the same opinion, that there's just got to be more consistency. This week, it was obviously the clamour incident that sparked it. And then after the clamour incident happened, with him touching the ref, there was quite a few incidents shown up of other players doing it. I think Corey Norman did it, Trent Merrin did it. And James Roberts did it. I think Roberts was charged, Clemmer was charged, Merrin wasn't, and Corey Norman wasn't. I think you have to decide. It's either you can touch the ref a little bit, or you can't touch them at all. Obviously, we all agree you can't touch them at all, so they all have to be charged if they're purposely touching the ref. Accidental, fine. Otherwise, Jamie Soward would be out for 5 years for the way he knocked over the official on Thursday night. But look, we just need consistency there. They brought the bunker in this year, and that's getting consistency for the on-the-field decisions, and I'd just like to see some consistency in the match review committee side of things now.
I think, like, it's a weird one as well, because it's something that hasn't been talked about for... Like, the last time I can remember a player being suspended for that was Jeremy Smith, the half, not the current playing Jeremy Smith, but he actually pushed a ref trying to get his attention, and he got suspended for a long time. That was fair enough, but Clemmer literally just was bracing himself against the referee. There was no malice in it, so...
Yeah, I think you can actually see that he was actually pointing. He was pointing towards Reynolds, who was down in the backfield, who'd been taken out, not illegally, but he'd been taken out with a heavy shot, and he was on the ground, and he was actually spasming and convulsing.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the vision slowly, he's actually pointing towards the ref. He's stopping Soward from getting into a heated discussion, and he's more so pointing to the incident behind the ref, who's advancing towards Clemmer. So obviously Clemmer has a history of aggression, but I don't think this instance he was being aggressive. I think he was trying to point the ref in the right decision. All right, that's talking points done for this week. I think we picked some good ones this week. That was nice. Now we'll move on to trivia. 60 seconds of trivia. It's my turn this week to go around. So I'll pass over to Mac, who will be running the show this week.
We'll just cue our timer up, and then we'll be good to go. I think, hoping we with a couple this time.
Yeah, we are ready to rumble.
Okay. Question number one: how many South players scored two or more tries against Newcastle?
Oh, that is a tough one. I'm going to say two.
No. Top tackler of round two.
Oh, again, these are tough. Pass.
How many teams are yet to win after round two?
Four?
You can answer again.
No, pass.
All right, pass. Who was the top point scorer in round two?
Oh, Jesus, he's a tough. Croker?
No. How many points have the Knights allowed in 2016?
70.
No.
Really?
All right, going back to one, how many South players have scored two or more three against Newcastle? Yes. Top tackler of round two?
James Graham.
No. How many teams are yet to win after round two?
Three.
No.
Was a top tackler Garvey?
Yes.
Four for the five for the teams.
No.
Six.
Yes. And top point scorer of round two?
That's time.
There we go. So we had how many South players scored more than two tries? It was three. It was Johnston, Aaron Gray, and Bryson Goodwin. Top tackler was Craig Garvey with 66. We had six teams winless after round two. The top point scorer of round two was Bryson Goodwin, because he was lucky enough to kick 1,000 goals against Newcastle.
Yeah, true.
And how many points have the Knights allowed in 2016? 78. And they've only scored 18. 78.
Okay, yeah, wow.
Jeez, that's 40 again.
So how many did I get in the end there?
I believe you got three.
It was just a game of guessing until I got to the right answer. They were tough, but... Okay.
Actually, no, you got four in the end.
Okay, so...
No, three, sorry.
We've had the bar set for next week.
You beat me.
I know what to go for.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's 60 seconds of trivia done. We're going to move on to question time, where we're going to be having a chat about the upcoming round. So I'll get the ball rolling with the Cowboys-Roosters game. So the question I'll pose to Mac is, can the Roosters bounce back, or are they going to cop another big score on them this week?
I can't see them bouncing back. I think they're a team that just... They don't have the toughness, really, to win. Like, you can see last week, they were playing against, first of all, 12 players, like, a team that was riddled with injuries as well, and they didn't get through it. You know, I just think the Cowboys will be way too good. Okay, so, and who's your tip on that one, would you say?
My tip for that one is definitely Cowboys.
Yeah, I'd say for me as well. So next we have Dogs and Para. So how much will the Eels miss Peets, do you think? He's obviously gone for a long time with that arm injury. Do you think that's going to give the Dogs a bit of a leg up?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely notice a difference there. He's been good, really good for them this year.
Yep.
He's been good for them for a couple of years, so I see that being a big loss for them, but not too big that it won't still be a close game. I think that one's a hard to pick between Dogs and Parrots. Potential to be the match of the round. I think two teams that have found some form.
And do you think Adam Elliott plays again after getting 0 minutes?
That one's a very hard one to call. I would like to say yes. I hope for his sake he does, because he didn't do anything wrong in the first game. He got injured, and he was unlucky, obviously, last week. It just wasn't the right game to inject him into. So
a bit too tough.
Yeah, it was a close one. There was no reason to put a fresh player on when the pressure was on. He's a young guy. So he hasn't done anything wrong. If it was my call, yes, he does. Who knows? I would not even try and guess what Des Hazard is thinking there.
All right, I'll go Dogs in that one anyway. I think they're a good shot.
Yeah, I see Dogs coming out on top of that one. So Knights Raiders next.
Yeah.
It's a simple one. How good is Josh Hodgson?
Josh Hodgson is very good. That 40-20 was one of the most clutch players I've seen in NRL history. He's got to be one of the best English imports that we've seen. Obviously, there's been tons of great ones, but I've never really seen a hooker come and make the transition, and he's just outstanding.
Yeah, he won them the game last week with that play. That was absolutely sensational.
He was playing halfback for a lot of the match as well, which is an unfamiliar position. So
he had a great year last year. I thought he was close to, if not Canberra's best last year.
Yeah.
And I think he's possibly a little bit underrated. People talk about Austin coming in, Caesar coming in, White and being a future star and things like that. Croker obviously is great, but Josh Hodgson, he's the linchpin of their team at hooker there, and I think he's very important to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And your tip for that one?
I'm going to go with the Raiders for that one. I worry about the Knights this year.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel bad for them. I like seeing them, but they're just, I don't know. They're missing that star power there.
78 points in 2 rounds.
Yes.
You got to imagine there's going to be a few more added to that toll.
Yeah, let's hope not. Let's hope it's a good game, but I don't see it going in the Knights' favour.
Cool. Then we have the Panthers and the Broncos. So the question for that one would be, would you say the Broncos are the most complete team in the NRL?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's hard to base it on this year because I think they've looked hot and cold at times. Mm. I don't think they've hit their form yet. I said the same last week, and I still don't think they've hit their best.
Yeah, they were a bit off against New Zealand, I thought.
They had patches where they looked quite good, but then they did let New Zealand creep back into the game a little bit. They never came back to the point where it looked like they were going to take it from them, but I still think they've got a long way to go. I think their roster is very complete, but it's hard. They're close to it. They're very close to the most complete team, but I wouldn't say definitely yes.
I think Milford looks like he's just going to run away with the ball every single time he touches it. He is quick.
Yeah, he's a fast guy. He breaks that line pretty well.
Yeah. I think I've got to go Broncos on that one. I think they're looking very good.
Yeah, they are. They're looking very good. The Titans-Tigers is up next. This is an interesting one. So the question I'm posing is, has this game gone from being a dud before the season started to potentially being one of the games of the round?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I think we've got two teams that can score a lot of points. So I think it's every fan's dream. If you can go out there and see the game, I think you're going to have a great time. The Tigers have been the surprise packet. Like Brooks and Moses, they were just amazing against the Seagulls last week. And I think the Titans were unfortunate losers last week against the Storm, but I'm thinking a close one. I'm going to tip the Titans on that one. I think they have a chance of bouncing back, and I think the Tigers just have those lapses where they let in a lot of points, which I think the Titans. The Titans will take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Titans on that one too. I think they've looked good. I thought they looked really good. They stuck with Melbourne for quite a while.
Yeah,
the other night they were unlucky to come away with a bigger loss than probably what they deserved. Although it wasn't massive, but yeah, I'm tipping the Titans on that one, and I think our man David Shillington might have a cracker of a game as well.
I think so.
A man of a match coming.
All right. So next up is the Warriors and the Storm. How many more losses can McFadden last?
Not many.
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
The thing you have to remember about McFadden is not only he's got a fantastic roster this year and he's lost the first two games, but he's lost many from last year too. I think they're on a streak now.
Yeah, it was something like July last year, I think.
Yeah, it's something...
With the roster they have, it's unacceptable. And not playing Conrad Harrell and things like that. He's just got a few things there that he really needs to answer for.
Yeah, I would give him maybe... I don't see them getting rid of him anytime soon. I think it's got to be at least kind of mid-season before you can really start to kick him out. So maybe, look, if they lose three or four more in a row, then but I don't see that happening. I think they'll probably pick up a win here and there.
Okay. And just a quick bonus question. We found out today that Slater is out for the next 8 months.
Yes.
Is it time to retire?
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Okay.
They've got Cameron Munster there. Yeah. Unfortunately, for Melbourne fans, sorry, but you don't need Billy Slater anymore. Munster is a star. He's done the job. He's probably done the job better last year than Slater has shown in the last year or two.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
He's been past his best for a while, Slater, and I think it is. I think someone like him, he probably wants to go out on a high note.
Yeah.
He probably wants to come back and play a few games, but in the interest of Melbourne, I think it's time for him to move on.
Yeah, it's a sad way to go out, but you need to be smart. Obviously, his body is past it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, I'll be going for the Storm in that one.
Yeah.
I think that's my tip.
Yeah. I see the Storm coming out on top in that one, too. So, we've got Dragons, Rabbits last. Was moving Dugan to fullback the right option, or are they giving up on his centre experiment too soon?
I think it's definitely the right option. I just think for the team as a whole, they really need Dugan there to be involved as much as possible. And at the moment, he's stuck on that side. He relies on Benji and Widdup to get him the ball, and also just Kurt Mann last week. I feel sorry for the guy because he must be so down in confidence at the moment that getting dropped isn't helping, but it's the right team, right call for the team.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they ever should have moved him. I don't know what they were thinking. He's an amazing fullback. Why move? I had my rant last week, so I don't think I need to add anything more to that. I don't agree with this whole moving fullbacks all over the place.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a tough game to call. I can't see the Dragons winning it though.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the final game, Monday Night Football, is the Seagulls against the Sharks. Would you say that the Sharks are genuine contenders this year?
Absolutely. They look great. They looked fantastic versus the Dragons. The first 30 minutes is obviously quite close. Yeah. But once they found their gear, they really found their gear. And they played well week one, too, versus the Cowboys. So, absolutely, they're contenders.
Yeah, they weren't missing Gallon at all. They were still running over everyone. So
I was looking at the team list today, and I didn't even realise that Gallon's still out. Honestly, he hasn't played many games for them in the last couple of years. So, they've learned to play without him and learned quite well, really.
Yeah, you got to tip the Sharks over them, over the Seagulls as well, I think.
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Sharks. I wouldn't mind seeing a Seagulls win because I feel bad for their fans like I do Knights fans. They've got a good squad this year. It's obviously put together a good team, and they deserve to have a couple more wins than what they're getting.
Yeah.
Right, so that's question time done for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our interview.
Yeah, excellent. Looking forward to it.
This podcast is made possible thanks to our partners at LeagueFreak.com, the place for all things rugby league. LeagueFreak.com.
David Chillington is an Australian and Queensland representative forward who currently plays for the Gold Coast Titans. A veteran of over 200 NRL games, David's made the move to the sunny Gold Coast after playing at both the Roosters and Canberra. Known for his big hits, plus a striking resemblance to a 90s sitcom character.
Thanks for joining us, David.
No problem, guys.
All right, we'll jump right into some questions that our listeners have sent in. First of all, has anyone ever said that you resemble the character David Putty from Seinfeld?
No, I haven't heard that one, but possibly I can see a little bit. A few times I've had Jimmy Kimmel from the US talk show host over there.
I can see that,
But no, never from Seinfeld, so I don't mind that. I like him as a character.
All right, so the second question, what team did you support when you were growing up, and why?
I was a Raiders fan, actually, when I was growing up. I was about 10, I think, when they won the 94 premiership. It would have been 11, actually. So, obviously they were the gun side back then and had a heap of Queenslanders playing in their team, like Big Mel and all them. So they were easy team to support. So it was funny, actually, getting to play for them in the NRL eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. As a player, do you have a favourite day or time slot that you prefer to play at?
When I was in Canberra, we loved playing Sunday Arvo games because in winter, obviously, that was the nicest time, even though it was winter, it was still nice and sunny and the warmest period. But at the Gold Coast, it's nice and warm all the time. So,
absolutely.
We'd like more Friday night games like the Broncos. They get heaps of those.
Yeah,
we do have one coming up against them, actually, so that's pretty handy. And they're always the best Friday nights, so you can have the weekend off after that and relax with the family.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, aside from the Titans, obviously, on average, how many games of NRL do you think you watch a week?
I watch at least the team that I'm going to be playing against the next week.
Smart.
I just do a little bit of homework on them.
Yeah, do you take notes or anything, or do you just sort of watch it and relax?
I don't write stuff down, but I just watch what their front rowers do and what the team does generally. Okay. Just so get a bit of preparation in my mind of what I'm coming up against.
Is that something that a lot of other players will do, or is that just something you've kind of decided for yourself to do?
I think everyone's quite different. I know a lot of players can't watch any footy and they get sick of it because obviously we do it all day, every day.
Yeah.
Some players watch a lot of games. I think playmakers watch a lot of footy because it's good for them, obviously, to know what they're coming up against. But I'm not sure how many front rowers do.
Well, this one's a bit more of a thinker. If you could bring any player, past or present, into the Titans team, who would you choose?
Oh, that is a very tough question. I've always been a massive Brad Fittler fan, actually. I was lucky enough to get coached by him. I didn't get to play with him. He just finished up before I started playing first grade at the Roosters. But he's a great fella, and he's probably one of the best players to play the game. So he's sort of experienced in the field and his leadership. I think we'd love someone like that in our team.
Oh, excellent. And what would you say the best thing about living on the Gold Coast is compared to Canberra or Sydney?
Well, obviously, the lifestyles are a massive factor. And I guess compared to Sydney as well, you don't have the outrageous property prices. But also for me, having a young family, I'm close to all my cousins and my kids' grandparents back in Brisbane there. So okay. That's a major draw card for me.
Yeah. The weather's not too bad either.
Oh, it's great. A little bit too hot for training sometimes. Yeah. It's going down every now and then with a bit too much heat, but it's pretty nice to be at the beach.
So if you could only play one more game for Australia or Queensland, which would you pick?
Oh, that's a great question. I might upset some people, but I think I'd go for Queensland, to be honest.
Yeah.
I sort of rate them fairly well alongside each other because obviously the state of origin's a great rivalry there, Queensland, New South Wales, but on the same page, geez, we had some massive games against New Zealand and England over the years that I loved, and they were pretty fiery sort of matches, and they got us a few times, we got them a few times, so okay. I rate them, you know, pretty equal, those two games.
Excellent. All right, and how about if the Roosters and Canberra are playing in a grand final, who would you go for?
having just left Canberra, I'd go for them. I know what it's like to be a bit out of sight, out of mind down there, and everyone writes you off every year. So it's great to see him doing well this year so far. And
yeah, looking great.
Good to see him reliving the glory days with another premiership soon.
Yeah, obviously that's the legacy you've left. So they're just following on from that.
I'm not sure about that. They got a great squad this year, so I think they'll continue to do well.
And as a forward, how have you found the introduction of the shot clock, and also the bunker as well, in reducing time between decisions?
I love the bunker. It seems to be doing a really good job so far. It was crazy. They were getting so many decisions wrong going to the video referee. You'd think they'd nail everyone, but the bunker's been great. Shot clock's been a bit tougher, that's for sure. The game's a lot faster than it used to be, so it's good for the fans, but it's not great for the heavy players like myself. didn't mind a bit of a bludge, hands on knees, and get the breath in while we're packing a scrum, but you can't do it anymore. So it'll be entertaining for the fans, and we'll just have to adjust to it.
Sure.
Yeah, fair enough. And after you hang up the boots, what do you see yourself doing?
I'm not 100% that one. Okay. I'm about halfway through a Bachelor of Business degree. I just switched over to Griffith up here after starting down at University of Canberra. So I'll knock that over the next couple of years before I retire and potentially go into a sports administration role of some sort. So if I keep playing for the Titans and finish up here, I'm maybe slot into a role there, hopefully, and see how we go.
That'd be excellent. Cool. So to finish off, we're going to have a quick game that we like to call This or That. It's basically, I've got a list of things that are very similar, and I'll just go through them at a fast pace, and you just pick which one you prefer out of the two.
Okay, sure.
Batman, Superman?
Superman.
HJs or Maccas?
Oh, HJs.
Twoies or 4X?
4X.
Beatles or Stones?
Stones.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Cats or dogs?
Definitely dogs.
Twilight, Hunger Games?
I'll go Twilight, I think.
Letterman or Leno?
Leno.
Android or Apple?
Apple.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Definitely Seinfeld, big fan.
Well, you're in it, so. Fittler or Lockyer?
Oh, that's another tough one. I just don't have Fittler in my team, but Lockie, he's having real too. I'll go lucky at the Queensland. I'll take care of the Queensland boys.
PC or Mac?
Mac.
Neighbours or Home and Away?
Neither, but probably watch Neighbours when I was a teenager, so yeah.
And last one, Ricky Stewart or Neil Henry?
I'm really enjoying Neil at the moment, but I've got a lot to thank Ricky for last season. You know, he's brought out the best in me again after a couple of quiet years, so I'll go with Neil, obviously, being my current coach.
Smart choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's all the questions we've got. We really appreciate you giving us some time tonight.
No problems, guys.
Yeah, it's awesome. Great. Good luck on the weekend and good luck for the rest of the season.
All right, thanks, guys. Keep it up with the podcast. I love them. It's good.
Great. Thanks so much, David. Thanks, David.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye.
Okay, now it's on to 20 questions. This week, it's Mac's turn to try and guess the player I've picked, just for those playing at home that haven't played with us before. Mac has 20 questions to try and guess the current NRL player that I've picked. The player has to have played over 50 games and they need to be currently in an NRL squad. So, Mac, get us started.
All right. I haven't really thought about this that much, so it's a little bit concerning, and considering we've both got them in the past couple of weeks, I think it's definitely time is coming for someone to fail. Let's say, has this guy played State of Origin?
No.
Okay. Does he play for a Sydney club?
He does.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh. That was a mistake from me. He does not play for a Sydney club.
Oh, okay. All right.
Was that a ploy by me to throw him? The answer to that is no, he does not play for a Sydney club.
Okay. All right. does he play for a Queensland club?
He does.
Okay. Does he play for the Gold Coast Titans?
He does.
Is it David Shillington?
It is not. He's played State of Origin.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. Is this player a utility player?
No.
Okay. Is he a back?
No.
Is he a forward?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a massive waste of a question.
Yeah, but you know, you need to be sure.
What's the other option?
I don't know. Okay. Has this player seen a lot of success just recently?
No, nothing more so than he has for the rest of his career.
Okay. And is he more of a flashy forward? Like, is he someone that tends to offload the ball a bit, or is he?
No, he's your traditional forward.
Okay.
Those playing home, 10 questions are up.
Jeez, that was quick. Okay. Does he play in the front row?
He does.
Okay, now I need to try and think of front rowers from the Gold Coast Titans, and the only one I can think of is Parsi, which I don't think it's him. Okay. Oh, God. All right. And he hasn't played State of Origin, so...
No.
I honestly can't think of any front rowers apart from David Shillington and Parsi that play for the Titans. So this is going to be tough.
9 questions to go.
Okay, all right. Let's try and. Has he played? Is he a Queen? Like, is he actually a Queenslander?
No.
No. Okay. Has he played City Country?
He has.
Jeez. All right. And was he named for the Titans this week?
I'd need to double check that. I'm almost certain he was. We'll put some thinking music in the background here, and we'll just quickly check that for you.
I really want to check the side, but I can't, which is annoying.
You absolutely cannot.
I should have looked at the Titans team a little bit more.
Well, you can't be looking at every team.
Yeah. It's just
he was in fact picked for the Gold Coast Titans this week.
So, okay. Yes, is it Luke Douglas?
It is Luke Douglas.
Thank God, I wasn't sure if he'd moved on or not.
So 15 questions that took, well done. Jeez,
thank you. Yeah, I was in trouble there, I was really worried.
Yeah, for some reason, for a moment, I was thinking he still played for Cronulla.
Yeah.
That's why I said the Sydney thing.
I know Cade Snowden as well moved from, like they both moved on at the same time.
Yes.
And I couldn't remember who went where, and it was confusing.
Good player, Luke Douglas.
Yeah, didn't he have that record for most consecutive games?
He does, yeah. I think the peptide ban, didn't that stop him from getting it? Or he either had a suspension or the peptide ban. One of them stopped it last year, I think.
Tough player, though. And for a front rower, it's impressive.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. I like him. He's one of those, like I said, he's a traditional front rower. He's a hard-working front rower. Not flashy. He doesn't get all the raps that a lot of other players do, but he...
Yeah.
He gives his all every week, and that's sometimes all you can ask.
As you said, a very traditional player.
All right, that's 20 questions done again. So the scorecard looks 2-1 to Matt, who we've played 3 times now. So I'll have a chance to even that up next week. So now we're going to move on to our last segment. It's Max Rant.
Okay. All right. I've actually been thinking about this one a lot. It's been something that's been annoying me for well over a year, which was... essentially, just Teamless Tuesday comes out, everyone's really excited about it, and then you get to the actual game day, and the team is completely different. I had a look at this year. In round 1, 13 of the 16 teams had a change. In round 2, 10 of the 16 teams. So over half the teams are changing from what the coach actually names, and sometimes it is a small change where, like, James Granville goes to the bench or something like that. And it just seems like a little pity sort of tactic that they're trying to play that just... isn't necessary. And I'd like to see the NRL crack down on this, where you need a legitimate reason to change your team. You can't just bring a player into debut out of nowhere. And you really want to be able to have a bit of, respect the fans a bit. Let them get excited for Teamless Tuesday and not look at the team and say, great, Des Hasler's coaching this team, so apart from last week, but every other week, he's going to change his team all over the place, and someone that we haven't heard of before is going to come onto the bench. I know Anthony Griffin has been horrible with this year as well. He's made so many changes. Like the Peter Wallace and Tyrone Peachey switch around, it just made no sense. It just, just name them that way. It's not like it's caught the Bulldogs off guard and they've gone, oh no, Peter Wallace is playing hooker now, what do we do? Just name the right team on Tuesday. That's all I want to see.
No, I agree. It does get frustrating. Obviously, I guess one thing that makes it hard is that there have been so many injuries this year that a lot of the times I don't know up until game day what's going to happen. But, it's the ones that are just a slight ploy or something.
Yeah.
They do. Des Hasler is the magician at that. We don't know who he's fooling. I don't know if it's working or not. But
It just doesn't make any sense to me, because surely it doesn't have a big impact on the other team. Like, I know Panthers Raiders round 1, Blake Austin came off the bench and started at 5'8", and it's sort of, I guess that would catch you off guard a bit because he's such a good player, but in general it just doesn't have a big impact. There's no need for it.
There's actually a comment, I think Vossi, I'm not sure if it was Vossi or someone made, one of the commentators made it in the Raiders game. There was a passing comment, and I didn't know if they were 100% correct in it, but they actually said Sam Williams pulled out of that game.
Oh, really?
I can't remember if Sam Williams ended up playing or something, but they said that he pulled out because he felt like he wasn't up to it for that match, so he took himself out.
Oh,
it was it was a very passing comment. I'd completely forgotten about it up until this point.
Yeah,
but that's what they said. So it might have actually been Stewart's idea to play with Sam Williams. I had mentioned to you earlier in the week, he actually had the most try assists for the Raiders last year, which
an amazing stat.
Yeah, it is an amazing stat. But he's one of those solid players. He's a Robson Hodgkinson type player that's not flashy, and they do a lot of the marshalling behind the scenes and things like that. So yeah, maybe it was Stewart's plan to go for it.
Yeah.
All right, that is another episode in the book. Have you had fun, Mac?
It's been a great week again. I love the David Shillington interview. I think such a great guy. I cannot believe how down to earth he is for someone that's played State of Origin and for Australia. It's it's, you know, refreshing to see.
Yeah, we'd just really like to thank David again. That was it was great to have our first special guest on for the podcast. Hopefully there'll be plenty more to come this season and seasons more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for this week, we'll say goodbye and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, enjoy the footy, guys.
Thanks.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.